And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio, 98.1 FM, and also going over to our friends on Free FM 89.0, coming out of the Tron, going throughout the Waikato, and I hope you're enjoying this beautiful spring day out there, folks. And today on the show, we're going to have a look at some private sector headlines, some weather, some gardening to-dos, and such things like that. And then a bit later on, we're going to be listening to a talk by Nicole Masters, who is an agroecologist. And she's kind of doing a tour around the country at the moment, so we will hear a bit from her. But I'll come back with the news headlines first, probably primary sector headlines anyway, after this one by Lou Reed called Andy's Chest.
Things were a bit askew. Well, you know what happens after dark. When rattlesnakes lose their skins and their hearts, and all the missionaries lose their bark. Oh, all the trees are calling after you, and all the venom snipers after you. Are all the mountains bolder after you? If I could be any one of the things in this world that bite, instead of a dentured ocelot on a leash, I'd rather be a kite and be tied to the end of your string and flying in the air, babe, at night. 'Cause you know what they say about honey bears. When you shave off all their baby hair, you have a hairy-minded pink bear bear. Bells are rolling out for you, and stones are all erupting out for you, and all the cheap blood suckers are flying after you. Yesterday, Daisy, May, and Biff were grooving on the street, and just like in a movie, her hands became her feet. Her belly button was her mouth, which meant she tasted what she'd speak. Woo! But the funny thing is what happened to her nose. Ooh, it grew until it reached all of her toes. Ooh, now when people say her feet smell, they mean her nose. And curtains laced with diamonds dear for you. For you, and melting ice cap mountaintops for you. Oh, and knives and flaming silver robes for you, and bats that with a kiss turn prince for you. Swoop, swoop, oh baby, rock, rock. Swoop, swoop.
All right, folks, here we are. That was Lou Reed there with the song Andy's Chest off the magnificent Transformer album. Here on the Over the Fence show, and now we're going to look at some primary sector headlines. And, yeah, first one up. Future of gene tech likely focused for national-led government, they say. So the future of controversial gene technologies are expected to be top of the agenda for the incoming national-led government. Gene modification editing technology have sparked some uproar in recent years. New Zealand fighting to hold its position as a producer of top quality and naturally produced food and beverages. Scientists at Crown Institute Plant and Food Research said while gene technologies could speed up the development of disease-resistant plants and cut pesticide use, it would need public support first. And on and on. There's a lot to this, and I am going to get John Carapiet, who's been involved in this area a long time, to come on the show over the next few weeks, hopefully. He's in the UK, so it's been kind of hard to tee up an interview time. But I think it's a bit short-sighted, personally. For our exporters especially, getting into to GE stuff. But we shall see. And moving on from that one, if you've got a craving for plum a crumble, a bit of preserved plum with your yogurt, or some easy homemade plum ice cream, you're out of luck. Waddy's Hawke's Bay, Black Doris plums have been noticeably missing from the shelves for a few months, and growing trends could mean Kiwi Classic, the old Black Doris plum, is going to be a thing of the past. And Mike Russell, who grew the plums, mainly for canning at Waddy's, for about 20 years, sold his orchard a couple of years ago. But a lot of them got wiped out in the Cyclone Gabriel. So, unless they start growing somewhere else, I'm sure they could nowadays, probably. So, the old Black Doris plums, there's not too many of them around. And Zespri and its board advisor, Sir John Key, have met with China's foreign minister to discuss the illegal plantings of Gold 3 kiwi fruit in the country. Zespri owns the rights to Sungold, or G3, and growers in New Zealand pay hundreds of thousands of dollars per hectare to grow it. A grower took clippings to China in 2016, and since then the amount being grown has been increasing. Zespri Chief Executive Dan Matheson said the unauthorised plantings remain a significant challenge, with around 8,000 hectares in the ground in China, putting at risk the significant investment by growers through the potential for oversupply. So John Key met with Foreign Minister Wang Yi in Beijing on Monday, and Matheson said the meeting involved discussions around the importance of IP protection. He adds, we've been encouraged by the support we've received from within China as we sought to address the challenge of unauthorised Gold 3 kiwi fruit plantings in China. This includes the steps taken to amend its seed law to grant stronger protection to investors in plant varieties. Yeah, so that's been going on for the last few years now. I guess they're trying to do something about it, but we shall see if any headway comes of that one. Most likely a compromise, I'd imagine. And lamb prices have dropped to levels not seen for 6 years, taking more than 20% off sheep farmers' incomes. The lamb schedule has fallen in recent weeks, with some companies now offering just $6.50 a kg, having been $8.30 two seasons ago and $7.20 last year. Drops have been put down to continued soft demand from key markets like China and an influx of Australian lamb flooding the markets. Manawatu-based Baker Ag consultant Gary Massox said the drop was predicted 6 months ago, but it ended much harder and faster than anyone expected. And he said, the situation is scary and farm budgets are in the red, and this is all at a time when farmers have more lambs on the ground and could maybe have hoped to capitalise on that. So, yeah, poor old sheep farmers. If it ain't one thing, the other, it's the other for our hard-working sheep farmers in the country. And the prices of key export commodities have risen for a second consecutive month, driven by dairy and horticulture, not lamb, though, obviously. The ANZ World Commodity Price Index gained 2.9% in September, with gains for most major sectors, although prices were nearly 7% lower than a year ago. Dairy and horticulture saw strong increases, which helped offset weaker prices for lamb and logs. And a soft New Zealand dollar also lifted the local currency returns for producers. So, yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag, but some good news in there. So that's good. And I think we'll finish up with this one. Wonky Box eyes a South Island expansion. South Island growers may soon have a new way to sell their wonky or ugly fruit and vegetables rejected by the supermarkets. The two-year-old business Wonky Box plans to expand its fresh produce delivery service from the north to the South Island out of Christchurch. It follows the closure of online supermarket Soupy this week as the weight of the grocery duopoly pushes down on independent retailers. During the 2 years of Wonky Box, it says diverted 1.9 million kilograms of cosmetically, not perfect stuff you've seen in the shops, produced from waste. And co-founder Angus Sims said the business model would work well in the South Island, where they're going to enter there very soon. So good on you, those people doing the Wonky Box thing. And yeah, it is a criminal waste of perfectly good fruit and veggies just because they don't appeal to the eye. That'll probably do for the headlines for today. So I'll come back some weather probably after this one by Street Chant performing Pedestrian Support League. Thank you. Here we are. There was a street chant there with their song Pedestrian Sport League, and it's weather time here on the Over the Fence show. And the rain warning that Met Service had issued for parts of Hawke's Bay and Gisborne is the risk is going to subside this morning, but I did notice some headlines about there's a bit of flooding and that down there, but the rain's going to ease down there a bit from today, they're expecting. So that's good news for them down there, another sort of rainy sort of dump down there. But there's going to be some instability developing around the Upper South Island this afternoon and perhaps parts of the Bay of Plenty. And Met Service has issued a few thunderstorm chances in the outlook, which is mostly, having a look at it, going to be from sort of Lake Taupo out to the coast, kind of Gizzy Mahia, sort of north of there, kind of ways by the looks of it. And
Yes, it's going to be a few heavy showers. And those showers are going to be sort of, yeah, you know, kind of similar kind of area, although moving away from Gisborne, sort of maybe Coromandley kind of ways like this evening. And thunderstorms from, I guess, Nelson out to the Farewell Spit, place like that. And in South Island, well, you know, it's spring all right, but there may be still a few cool mornings to come. Alpine areas have a risk of a light frost this morning and again tomorrow. Although tomorrow's risks shift to parts of central Otago and the Lakes District. Friday, when the high pressure moves over, has a greater chance of a frost overall. So, yeah, a bit of this, bit of that, isn't there, over the country? But, well, it is spring, and generally, yeah, the weather predictions aren't all that kind of good over spring, as you've probably noticed. What else can I bring you anyway? Locally here in the Waikato, there's a southwesterly airflow which are lying over most of the country today. It's going to bring a bit of cloud and a few showers for some, not really so much over here. From the Wairarapa kind of up to the tip of the Coromandel, the West Coromandel anyways. There's going to be a few showers up north, maybe west of Balplenty and perhaps parts of the Waikato. Yeah, probably more on the eastern side over there. And yeah, southwesterly winds. That's kind of where it's at, weather-wise. And, yeah, it looks like it's a beautiful day out there today. Winds are a bit cool, but we got some beautiful drop of rain yesterday morning too, which was nice. Saved me watering the garden yesterday. And what can we expect over the next week or so? Well, blowy today, 17 degrees high. Today, tomorrow, then 18 pretty much solidly for the rest of the week. Daytime highs. The night time, the highs are going to be 11 degrees from now till Friday, then sort of between 12 and 14 pretty much for the rest of the week. So pleasant, not too humid, which is good. And yeah, windy today, maybe cloudy tomorrow, sort of more cloudy on Friday, they're expecting. Beautiful sunny day Saturday, a little bit cloudy Sunday, then cloudy, then maybe from Tuesday on next week, a few showers and things like that. But yeah, like I say, it's... yeah, predictions aren't all that kind of accurate this time of year. And the winds anyway, southwesterlies today and tomorrow, then south-southwesterlies Friday, south-southwesterlies Saturday, south-westerlies Sunday, westerlies Monday, west-northwesterlies Tuesday, and westerlies. So pretty much the same quarter, but slightly different ways like that. And the humidity today is 67%. And the sunrise this morning is 6:08 and will set at 8:02 this evening. The length of visible light is 14 hours and 51 minutes. Yes, indeed. The day length is 13 hours and 54 minutes. Whew. And tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 2 seconds longer than it is today. So, yes, beautiful long days. Yeah, sort of getting light nice and early, about 5:15. It's great. And the beautiful moon, I saw it yesterday morning, I think it was. Yes, it's going to rise at 3:41 and will set at 2:53 this evening. And it's a waning crescent, 21% illuminated this evening. So there's some weather for you. Now I'm going to play for you a song by the Mescaleros called Johnny Appleseed.
There goes Martin Luther King. Notice that's how the door closes when the chimes of freedom ring. I hear what you're saying. I hear what he's saying. Is what was true now no longer so. Summertime song fall on the apple. Lord, there goes a Buick 49, black sheep of the angels riding, riding down the line. We think there is a soul.
Here we are, that's Mis Galeros. If you recognise that voice, that was, of course, Joe Strummer out of The Clash. That was his band he spent most of his time with after he broke The Clash up. And it's guarding Dudu's time here on the Over the Fence show, and today being the 8th of November already, folks. Yes, indeed it is. Of course, the last quarter of the moon phase, and an excellent time to plant subtropicals like citrus, tamarillo, passion fruit, feed jars, avocados, and turn hot compost over. And hill up the potatoes. And heading from a Monday, which is the new moon phase, a good time to sow or plant sweet corn into enriched soil. And plant your Mediterranean herbs like your thyme, sage, oregano, and basil. So there's a few things you can do by the moon. And, of course, November, spring, there is plenty, plenty to be planting in the garden. And so here we go. At least some apricot, asparagus, basil, beans, beetroot, blackberries, blueberries, broccoli, cabbage, capsicums, carrots, celery, chilies, chrysanthemum, coriander, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, dahlia, daisy, dianthus, eggplants, feed jars, fuchsia, gerbera, impatiens, kumara, lavender, leeks, lemons, lettuce, limes, mandarins, marigolds, mesclun, oranges, parsley, parsnip, passion fruit, petunia, poppy, potatoes, pumpkin squash, radish, raspberries, rocket, rose, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, spring onion, strawberry, sweet pea, sweet corn, tomatoes, and watermelon. Yes, indeed. There's a few things there for you to get amongst. And now I'm going to play for you a live song by Radiohead called Morning Mr. Magpie. And we'll be back with some public service now, some Arthur Swire. All right, there we are, folks. That was Morning, Mr. Magpie by Radiohead, of course, from the basement. Off there, King of Lindsay, I think it was, and I've enjoyed that one. And a couple of quick public service announcements for you. As always, the good people next door at the Whangarei Environment Centre have the Aroha seed stand out the front there, and the tool library is open with both Jasmine and Katie in there today doing stuff. And so, yeah, seeds there and potting mix and punnets and things like that. So come in and grab. I grabbed a couple. What did I get? Beans and some zucchinis, I think. And there's heaps of other different ones there. A few cabbages and bits of balls like that. So hook into that. The community house, I do believe, is still closed to the public because they're re-roofing up there. So that may take a couple of days, a bit longer than expected. So just a heads up on that one. And this one, yeah, toilet bowls. Oh, man, it started last night. I missed the thing, but that started again. So teams of three, toilet bowls at the bowling club, of course. Beginners or individuals are welcomed. Register, so get down there about 5:30. $25 a person for 5 weeks, and that includes barbecue, and there's weekly raffles, and the bar is open. So, yeah, cruise down there, 5:30 next Tuesday, it'll have to be. Yep, go down by yourself, or if you've got a team of three, wander in there. And that's all good. And there was something. Oh, yes. Surfing for Farmers is about to restart. Not quite yet, but on the 29th of November, Surfing for Farmers will be starting again. So get organised for that one. I'm going to have Matty Kirk on the show in a couple of weeks to have a little talk about it and refresh our minds about that. So I think that's all I wanted to say as far as that stuff goes. So here goes Goblin Mix with Lament live. right, folks. There we are. There was a Goldblum mix there with their song. Well, just forgotten now. Lament, live, of course. And I think it was the 10th Flying Nun anniversary they performed that one. So there's that. And now I'm going to play for you a talk done in Tauranga at a TEDx they had down there a few years ago called Down and Dirty, A Pile of Reasons to Fall in Love with Soil by Nicole Masters, who I've seen live a couple of times, and she is very onto it and very good at what she does. And she describes herself as an agroecologist and is all about soil and worms and, yeah, lots of things. She's an excellent speaker, and actually I did see that she may be coming on a soil resilience tour here in the Waikato next week on the 16th and 17th. That's getting put on by the Soil Sisters. And hopefully we'll have one of them on next week to have a talk about who they are and what they do and a bit more of talk about the tour. But I think, yeah, there's going to be one in the Waikato, I think Horahora ways, up in the north and down Timaru ways, I think, in the South Island in a few weeks' time. So if you can, get along to that one. But here's a talk from a few years ago called A Pile of Reasons to Fall in Love with Soil by Nicole Masters. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, I'm Nicole Masters, and I'm an agroecologist. Imagine if a few of you right now are going, what on earth is that? So I work with farmers, growers, and producers around the world looking at how can we work with natural systems to improve nutrient cycling, reduce imports, and basically grow good quality food for you guys. So this is some of the people that I work with. I get them connected with soil. Why soil, you ask? When you talk to my family and ask them when I became first passionate about soil, my parents will tell a story of finding me as a toddler at the bottom of the garden, my little pinky picking out snails and eating them. My grandmother recalls we used to drive for long summer trips and we'd play I Spy. You guys familiar with I Spy? Now, I used to say, once I said, I spy with my little eye something beginning with E. And my nana is one of those kick-ass I Spy players. No, and she wasn't going to give up. But eventually she gave up. Apparently I was quite precocious. I don't know if you can imagine that at six. I'm like, Nana, it's erosion. And I think I've had this lifetime of fascination with landscapes and what human beings have been doing and impacting on the planet. So when I first discovered soil, what surprised me the most was that, why aren't you all soil scientists? It's so exciting, really it is. When we're looking at what's happening in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, the quality of food that we eat, and water health, it's all about soil. Yet, it's not common dinner conversation. It's underfoot, out of mind, out of sight, and rarely registers on policy at all. So yes, soil. So I'd like to just get a little bit comfortable for a minute, if I can. Yes. And I'd like to tell a tale. And like many a good story, it goes back to the beginning. So I'd like to take you back to Genesis and creation stories. And around the entire world, we have a story that we came from either soil, dirt, or clay. And it doesn't matter if it's the ancient Babylonians, Sumerians, Incas, Mayans, Indonesians, Asians. We have the story that connects us that we came from the soil. And it's interesting, in New Zealand, our indigenous people, the Māori, have a story that the god Tāne, who obviously predating internet dating, couldn't find himself a woman. So he took some clay and he began to roll it and he made an effigy of himself. With arms, legs, torso, important differences, breasts, yes. And he made a woman. And to this, he took this woman that he rolled out of clay, and he breathed into her. And he breathed life, and she came alive with a sneeze. Tihe moriora. I sneeze, and it is life. When we look at what science is now finding is that certain types of clay and the certain right types of chemical reactions in the right environment start to form RNA, the very beginning and building blocks of life itself. We come from clay. And when we look at the word human, it comes from the same root word as humus. the dark brown chocolatey substance that gives topsoil its life as where we've come from. Now, some of you will be going, Clay, you're right. I came from outer space. So I'd like to introduce to you my friend the tardigrade. It's also known as the water bear or the water piglet. It's about half a millimetre in size. This extremophile can survive down to minus 270 degrees centigrade and above boiling. It can survive what would be a lethal dose of radiation for us, about 1,000 times that. It can desiccate its body to 3% of the water in it. So you imagine, it shrivels itself up. And then it can survive like that for decades until someone applies a few drops of water and this creature will spring to life. So it's cryogenesis. It's the stuff that sci-fi movies are made of. Yet this creature can do it. And so NASA scientists thought, well, that's all very interesting. Let's see if it will survive the vacuum of space. So it sent these tiny little creatures into outer space, brought them back, gave them a couple drops of water, and these things sprung to life. So they can survive in the vacuum of space. So in fact, when you're looking at the tardigrade, you may in fact be looking at alien life forms. And they walk below us, beside us. You'll find them in algae and moss. I encourage you to get a very simple student microscope and have a look at these things with your kids because they're so extraordinary. So these organisms and organisms across the planet will live in every single environment, from the top of Mount Everest to the bottom of the deepest oceans, and right now, all over you. So imagine, right now, if you all disappeared, you would leave behind just an outline of your microbes if we left just the microbes behind. All these microbes in your gut and on you right now. So we've evolved symbiotically with these bacteria since the very beginnings of time, side by side. And without these microbes, possibly you would die. You certainly wouldn't be living a very fulfilled life. And we actually look at how many cells are in your human body, and the latest research out of the human biome suggesting that we may have as much as 37 trillion cells in our body, but actually there's 100 trillion cells of bacteria in and on you right now. And this often comes to me. I have the fridge door open and I'm looking in there aimlessly when it occurs to me that perhaps it's not me that brought me to the fridge to find that bar of chocolate. It was the microbes, and I'm not responsible. Yeah. So we have these microbes around us all the time. And what doctors are now finding, and it's very, very, very interesting, and it ties in quite well with what the other speakers have said tonight, that we're now finding that microbes in your gut system have a relationship to autoimmune disorders, type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, leaky gut, arthritis, obesity, ADHD, anxiety, depression, aspirin, and more are being linked to these microbes that we have in our gut system. It's like an ecosystem, like the rainforest, imagine. So I'd like to take you back to that very first day that you were born. Now, try and remember it. It might be challenging. You might have screened it out of memory. But imagine that we've gone from this highly sterile environment in the womb, and you're being squeezed down that birth canal. And this is the very first point of exposure to microbes. And as you come out of that birth canal, you better really hope that your midwife doesn't have a bad case of halitosis or strep throat. Because if she breathes on you, she inoculates you with organisms that you carry for the rest of your life. So if you have recurring sore throats and glue ear, it's because of that very first exposure. So there's some researchers in Otago University who have developed a tablet that you can buy at a chemist and actually take that microbe, inoculate it in your throat, so that when your baby's born, you can breathe good microbes on that child. Because it's those first 2 years of life that set up this whole system in our bodies. It's who breathes on you. Do you have cats and dogs at home? And most importantly, you're allowing your children to explore the natural world. Are they getting down and dirty in the soil? You see how much time children spend with their hands in their mouths? It's disgusting. Yeah. So what they're doing is inoculating themselves, and it's what sets them up for their entire immune system for their life. So scientists call this the farm effect. That children that grow up on farms often have better autoimmune system to actually protect themselves. So they've done some interesting research looking at what kind of gut microbes did we have only two or three generations ago. So this one particular organism, some research has been done on, about 80% of the American population had this organism in their gut in 1940. This organism is responsible for creating enzymes that are appetite suppressors. So this organism kicks in these enzymes after you've had a feed, so you don't feel hungry. Good organism to have? Yes. Now, only today, less than 6% of Americans have this organism in their gut. We're losing the diversity of these species, and some of these organisms are important and they come from the soil. It's about inhaling soil and about getting outdoors and getting exposed to different microbes. But what are we doing instead? We now have things like antibiotics, vaccinations, chemicals that weren't around before the 1940s. We have heavy metals and we have this propensity for antibacterial soaps. Like being outdoors, climbing trees is somehow dirty and wrong. So I ask, are we cleaner? Or have we separated ourselves from a natural world that we're so symbiotically connected to that there's implications? Now I'd like you to just imagine for a minute your favourite smell. I'll give you 3 seconds. Yeah, you got it? My favourite smell is on a hot summer's day when you're driving in your car and you get a shower of rain that hits the road. You with me? That smell that you can smell is the excitement of an organism called actinomycetes throwing spores up into the air, basically reproduction. And the smell is called geosmin. Geosmin literally translates as the odour of the earth. So this beautiful smell that you can smell is made by actinomycetes. You may be familiar with them because you may have actually taken them as an antibiotic sometime during your life. So there's about 400 different antibiotics that are made from this soil organism. They're incredibly important in human history. And it's what gives soil its beautiful earthy smell is these organisms. So it's antibiotics that you can breathe in. What scientists are also finding now is that breathing in soil organisms or being inoculated with them can lead to increased serotonin production. So you think serotonin is produced in about 90% of it in your gut system. That it can reduce anxiety and depression and we can be gone with Prozac and go out and breathe some soil. So I want to take you back and just look at this big picture. So when we think about the steps forward that have come in human understandings of microbes, the same process is now happening in terms of what's going on in the soil. So if you can understand how it is that we digest food, so we chew it up, make it a bit smaller, it goes through your gastrointestinal system, getting smaller and smaller until it passes through into your bloodstream, right? That process is ameliorated basically by your microbes. Yeah, so they break it down, they have enzymes, vitamins, secondary metabolites, all that stuff that makes us healthy and well passes through that bloodstream. Now the same thing's happening in the soil, that we've got a process, and if we were to look at what's happening in terms of where that energy comes from, now what? That was confusing. Now, when we look at sunlight energy, this is what powers the entire planet, photosynthesis. So the very process of taking sunlight energy, that plant then takes it down through its root zones as a carbohydrate. So with sugar, carbon, hydrogen and oxygen is what that plant takes out of photosynthesis, sends it down through the root zone to feed microbes. So the plant can't send out for pizza and it can't go down the road to the supermarket. So it basically has a currency that's sugar that it sends to its microbes and says, you know what, I feel like Mexican food tonight. Or I feel like Italian. And the pizza in this plant will actually dictate to the microbial community what it needs and when. Vitamins and enzymes. Now what's fascinating is the same process that we're doing to our own bodies in terms of antibiotics and chemical use and maybe we're not taking soluble fertilizers, but the plants are, is disrupting this same natural cycle. So we're not getting the full vitamins and nutrients that we should be getting. And Ben Warren talked about it earlier on, that we're losing food quality and up to 60% of the nutrients have been lost out of our food since 1940s. Now some of that might be due to genetics and breeding, but it's also because we're separating ourselves from this natural world and not treating soil like the living space that it is. So I'd like to draw your attention to this apple and imagine for just a minute that it represents planet Earth. And the skin on this apple represents the topsoil. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut this apple into four. I'm going to cut it into four because three quarters of the planet is in fact not topsoil. Three quarters of the planet is the seas. So you can imagine a quarter of this planet is Earth. If we cut that in half, half represents land that we cannot grow food on because it's too steep, so thinking Antarctica, the Arctic, the top of the Himalayas, so land that we can't grow food on. I'm going to take the last eighth and I'm going to cut it into four. And those of you with a really good mathematical brain will know that that is 1/32. So if I cut that eighth into four, what this represents is, I'm going to take three parts of that, what it represents is land that we can't grow food on because it's too steep, too wet, too dry, too rocky, or it's already underneath cities and highways. So of all of this planet Earth that we see, to feed a burgeoning population of over 7 billion now, we have a soil resource, and I'm going to cut this off to represent our topsoil. We have a soil resource that's incredibly valuable, and it's the most vital of all of our resources on the planet, and we treat it like dirt. Thank you.
All right, folks, here we are. That was Nicole Masters there with Down and Dirty, speaking at a TEDx conference over in Tauranga from a few years back. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed that one. She's a very good speaker and very intelligent and knows a lot of stuff about soils and microbes and things like that. So that's kind of going to be it for the show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll be back next week, like I say, hopefully with someone from the Soil Sisters, and enjoy your week. It's going to be mostly sort of sunny in that, so yeah, have fun out there, folks, and I'm going to go out with this song here by the X-Men called The Wharf With No Name. Hope you enjoy it. Have a great week, folks. Go get there.
The Wharf With No Name. look real hard. You just might see her coming to the harbor with a hook.